What's going on, everybody? So, this episode was originally going to be a general reason why skepticism is important. You know, I was thinking it's important, this kind of thing, but and that's going to be something I will do in the future, I think. But this is kind of, this may or may not be released, to be honest with you, depending on how it goes. This is kind of based on an idea and a response to somebody. Because the question, some people might have this idea, like, well, what is the point of doing this? Why are you doing this? What is it that you're actually doing? What's the difference between skepticism and nuanced thinking, this kind of thing, right? And it comes back to the serious problem that we have when it comes to understanding skepticism. Honestly, a lot of times what I've noticed is that when a lot of people claim that they're skeptical, what they mean is that they're only skeptical towards one position. They're skeptical of one position over another position. I've been guilty of this. I know people who do this, literally not realizing that's not what skepticism is. And so they use it as like a hammer, things like this. And so people have this question like, well, what is it that you're actually trying to do? What is it? Why are you support skepticism, right? And this is why I've been focusing more on the ideas of being a nuanced thinker, not on skepticism, because skepticism itself is not the only answer to this. It's not the only part of this. There was a time before when you would have asked me this question, I would have been like, well, skepticism was this and this and this. Because I was using skepticism wrongly. I was overly rigid and this kind of thing. Because, like, nobody teaches you how to actually use skepticism. Like, they teach you, like, they tell you, like, oh, be skeptical. Like, make up your mind. Do your own research. But they don't tell you how to become a nuanced thinker. And this is really why I started this series, how to become a nuanced thinker, that it's going to be released soon as a full episode. I think it's already like an hour long, around 40 minutes long, so I'm probably going to do it as a volume one, and if there's more information, there'll be volume two, because I do think it's important for people to learn how to do this. This is a very important thing, and it's not about being skeptical. It's not just about being skeptical, because you can misuse skepticism, and most people do, because they're using. So think of it this way, right? This is the difference, I think, between being a skeptic and using skepticism. So let's say if you're attempting to learn something. So let's say that you have a position, or let's say you're attempting to learn both positions of when it comes to economics, left versus right, like which one is accurate, this kind of thing. What a skeptical person would actually do is they would look at both of these positions and say, notice what might be true, what might be false, without having an opinion of their own, for the most part. If they do have an opinion, their opinion is going to be not as important to this process, because it's about the evidence and this kind of thing. Whereas what most people do with skepticism instead is much different, and it's pretty easy to do this, to be honest with you. It's so easy that it's not really a surprise to me that this is how this works. In most cases, There are times, honestly, where you can honestly use it as a hammer, but most of the time, or most people use skepticism wrongly. They use it incorrectly, which is fine if you don't call yourself a skeptic, but they do, because they don't know what skepticism actually is and what it actually implies. So what most people do when they use skepticism is they use it, like if you're a Christian, you'll use skepticism towards atheism. If you're an atheist, you'll use skepticism towards Christians and Muslims and all this other stuff. Or a Christian would be using skepticism against a Muslim or a Jew or whatever. Whereas like an agnostic, a true agnostic would be looking at all those different positions of God and going, do any of them make any sense at all? And if you do realize that they don't make any sense at all, that's fine. But that comes after you look at all that information. And you go, oh, this doesn't make sense here because, like, you know, this kind of thing, right? And so what exactly is the purpose of skepticism? Why do skepticism? What are you doing when you're skeptical? And can you misuse skepticism? Of course you can, but so this question of what is the point of skepticism, how do you do skepticism, is going to be very much dependent on you, in your current position, or in your current, what's the word I'm looking for here, thing that you're looking at, like wanting to do. Like if you find yourself like dogmatic in a certain position, you might want to learn how to become more skeptical of that particular position, things like this. If you are attempting to understand somebody, you might want to become a little bit more of a nuanced thinker when you're doing this. Really, it's more about being a nuanced thinker rather than actual skepticism, because most people misuse the word skepticism anyways. So, and they misuse skepticism. And so this is not about like tearing ideas down and this kind of thing. We can definitely do that, and we can definitely make that as a thing we can do, but that's not the only thing that we're doing here. When we're being a nuanced thinker, we're also looking at it as a whole and looking at it through the synthesis of different ideas and things like this. Things I've been talking about in these episodes. And so skepticism is not about being a nuanced thinker. Skepticism itself. See, skepticism itself without the balancing aspects of being a nuanced thinker is where you start having problems. And this doesn't mean that, by the way, when you're being a nuanced thinker, this doesn't mean you have to have no positions. It just means that you're able to, you know, move towards another person's position if it makes sense. And if you're not even able to do that, but you're able to understand things from their shoes. It's kind of like empathy, but in a more cognitive way. But it's not even necessarily empathy, like an emotional way. Like it's kind of like what you do when you're looking at your dog or your cat. But instead of looking at it, it's like, oh, I love this cat or this dog. You can look at it from both sides. Like, what is the positive of a cat? What is the negative of having a cat? Things like this. Um, And really, it's about becoming less radical. It's about becoming less dogmatic. And you're including more into your worldview. But like I said, this doesn't mean you have no positions, and it doesn't mean that you have to agree with every single person. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with an anti-vaxxer or whatever. It just means that, like, probably in most cases, you can be nuanced and you can say, well, this makes sense, and sometimes it doesn't because of these reasons, but it also makes sense for these reasons, whatever it is, right? And so, with nuanced thinking, the problem with skepticism is that you're not. See, what skepticism usually ends up being, and this is something I really noticed and realized myself by looking at like what skepticism does, but what it really does is it sort of dissects things. It's like dissecting a frog. Like, you look at the frog, and you look at its innards, and you go, oh, this is what the frog is. And it often will tear positions down from that place. Now, I've done this before. This is not something that I like. And this is where the problems of skepticism comes in. Because if you're only using skepticism, you will be doing this constantly. And you're going to be finding yourself in a situation where everything can be a problem and everything can be stupid because skepticism breaks down the system, breaks down, not the system, well, that too, but breaks down the system of thought of somebody or whatever it is. And that can be useful, but if it's not used in conjunction with other things, it will become chaotic and destructive. And that's honestly, I think how most skepticism is in a lot of cases, I've noticed this. And it is one of those problems where it's not something that you're going to be able to do this. So, like, if you're in that place right now, it's not something you're going to be able to fix overnight. It's not something that you're going to, like, oh, I just stopped doing this in, like, a day or two. It's a slow process of realizing, like, you might be one of those people right now, but you might not like see what I'm saying or agree with what I'm saying because you're doing this right now. And that's perfectly fine. That's, you know, I was in that position for a while, and it's kind of an easy position to be in. But there comes a point where I think there's a couple things that can happen from this place. Once you reach a certain level, you start realizing that it's no longer useful. And then you might just go into the completely opposite thing, which is like faith and intuition. Or you could go, well, this skepticism doesn't really work. Or you can get involved in a lot of dramas and shit like this because a lot of this is happening. Or you could possibly realize that, like, oh, this is not the only way of doing this, of seeing the point of another person's, you know, viewpoint, whatever it is. So it's not that skepticism is a problem. It's a problem if you're only using skepticism. The overuse of skepticism of, I'm not even going to use the word skepticism because honestly, it's overused anyways as a word. I'm going to call it dissecticism because that's what it really is. Like, if you look at what a skeptic is doing, they're dissecting things. They're taking things apart and they're tearing it down, but they're not building anything up behind that. Or if they are, it's only like barely, like it's not. I think that's one of the reasons why, like, pure atheist channels that just go after religion because they're dumb, don't really work very well because they don't really give you alternatives except for a lack of a belief in God or a lack of a belief in this. And that's, and a belief in science, and that's fine. But that's not necessarily going to be meaningful for you or useful for you. And it's going to be one of those things where you're going to be missing something because you're only focused on this part of it. But oftentimes it seems so fucking empty when they do this. It's like, oh, your God is stupid. Like, it's an invisible man. Like, yeah, sure. Like, that's one of the reasons why I made the episode that I did called, what did I call it? Is a belief in God necessary? But I didn't do it from a place of tearing down. I did it from a place of, does this make sense in this reason, in this way? Like, I did some tearing down. I did some, like, dissecting. But I also attempted to make sense of things and synthesize some other things involved in this. And this is what one of the parts of this that I talked about is to think of the solution and not the problem, right? This is one example of this as well. That is also a part of this. So it's not about being skeptical, it's about nuanced thinking. And I think I'm going to go deeper into this in a second volume type of thing in the future. The first volume, I think I'm already pretty much done with when it comes to the How to Be a Nuanced Thinker episodes. But I think the second volume, that the first volume I'm going to be releasing soon, once that's done, I'm going to focus on the second volume, which is going to be going more in depth in, like, the dissective versus the other parts of this, to get you a kind of a deeper look at how this is going to actually look when you're doing this. So anyways, hope you enjoyed this episode, and I'll talk to you in the next one.